Wonderful to be here again in the presence of the Lord and also together. What would we do if we didn't have each other, right? We'd be pretty lonely. But of course we have also to learn to stand alone. Think about Joseph. He was in prison for almost 3 years. And I think he felt lonely many times. But he wasn't quite alone because the Lord was with him and was blessing him. And I hope you had a good year. Always pressing on for the Lord and doing your best as you see and let the Lord lead you in your ways. We have lots of greetings from our people home in Verdal. It is like this. People cannot always travel every year so far, because it takes a few dollars or pesos. It takes a lot more pesos than dollars. Is it still 40 to the dollar? Approximately. All right. But of course, we are not counting dollars and cents. We're asking the Lord to lead us. And back in the days of Jacob and Abraham, you never heard much about money. The only thing they said, Lord, we will give you tithe of everything we have. And that worked back in them days. And it ought to work also today in our day. And if it hadn't been for that the Lord has put some charges upon each and every one of us, then we wouldn't have been able to travel any of us. But we are fortunate and blessed, and we praise the Lord for the opportunity again to be together. And we consider the Angelus Church our second home. Away from home, when we're in the Philippines, it's almost like we come home. They tell us we're half Filipino anyway. Not by the looks, probably. But I feel a very kindred spirit, because you are liberated people. Simple, and that doesn't mean simple in a negative way, but in a very positive way. Open for the Lord. And then when we study the Bible, we find golden nuggets that will help us on the way, so that we can be able to see, to press on, because there is a battle going on that we really feel. And I am blessed by living in this day. I hope you feel the same way. Remember, the Lord, He chose a day for you to live in. I many times put it like this. The Lord spread every person on a great map. It's almost like you see the universe and the stars in the heavens, and you cannot number them because they're too many. But God numbered every soul that was ever going to be born on the face of this earth. From the first man, Adam, and to the last person that's going to be born at the end of the millennium period. He chose 7 days. Those are pretty long days because they're not 24-hour days. They are 1,000-year days. And we, when we read our Bible, we learn to understand that we are now coming close to the end of the sixth day. One day, the sixth day will be over. Remember, in our normal calculation, we have the ending of a day at 2400 hours. That's midnight. And then the next second, beep, it is next day. Very quickly. It is surely shown when you have your New Year's Eve, right? And people are counting 3, 2, 1, New Year, right? You're from December to January. And you are at immediate, oh, Happy New Year. So that goes quickly. But since the Lord never really told us when the sixth day is fully over, or any one of you know, right? No, nobody knows. But people like to try to figure out. And I met people back in 20, 30 years ago, and they said, it can't be much longer now. He must be coming. And some said, well, it can't be more than 10 years. And that's 20 years ago. And then they said, it can't be more than 5 years. And that's 15 years ago. Right? So therefore, people are anxious to get in a new year or in a new 1,000 year. But biblically, there is really a measuring rod. But it doesn't go by the natural Roman calendar. You are familiar with the prophet Daniel. And in chapter 9 of the book of Daniel, the Lord is speaking to Daniel and telling him that I have preserved 70 weeks for you. But when he said 70 weeks, it would be easy to count them and put them in a certain order. But he didn't put it calendar-wise in the Jewish years. He didn't say what year it was going to start until there was something special fulfilled. And we have learned to know that Israel, after they came home from Babylon, they started counting, wanting to know the times that the Lord was talking about. But the Lord told them, I want you to go back, start rebuilding the altar, start worshiping, having altar worship, sacrifice. I want you to rebuild the temple, put it in order, and I want you to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They came back in 536 approximately. And when the Lord spoke to Daniel, he wasn't even with them when they went back. He was left behind in Babylon somewhere. Not that he was left behind because the Lord didn't love him, but he was just so old that there was no more he could do for the people. So the Lord took him home, and the end of Daniel's life is not even told about. It's just that the prophecies of Daniel ended and he disappeared. And remember, you and I might disappear and nobody knows about it, right? Of course, you know the date and the day you die, or your family anyway. And probably Daniel's close people knew it, but it is not recorded in the Bible as a specific time. And from 536, they immediately started to clear off the temple ground and the place of the altar. And the first thing they restored was the altar worship. Then they started on a temple. But they were not able to continue on the temple because the neighboring countries, their enemies, didn't want them to build a temple, because then they would start to worship and it would be severe problems in the Middle East. And you know, today people say that they have already all the materials for the reconstruction of the temple in Jerusalem. Well, I haven't been in Jerusalem, so I cannot really tell you if it is done or ready, but some people say. But one day, there will be built a temple, because the Jews, they don't believe in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ the way we do, right? The Orthodox Jew does not believe as you and I altogether. They have a different way of looking at things. The first time they will believe in a Messiah is really when it comes in our Bible, and they don't have that part of the Bible. They only read the Old Testament, right? The real Orthodox Jew don't really read the New Testament. And if they do, they won't tell you. They keep it as a little secret. They might sneak in there and see what we believe in, just to have a little argument with us. But as prominent, polite Jews, they're waiting on a Messiah. But to us, it is really Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. That's when he comes down, and he's going to set his feet down on Israel's soil. And that's going to be, it's going to be a rescue time. The world has then come into a collapse, and it is total anarchy on earth. I tell you, brothers and sisters, sharpen your spiritual alertness, because the days are really not going to be any better. Hey, the Filipino economy might go up a little more. You might have more comfort, can buy whatever you want, I don't know. But don't think about quality in what you can buy and sell. Your quality is really measured with how you see the Word of God in its fulfillment. And God wants to involve His people in the fulfillment of the Word of God. And God has people on earth. He does. And He wants them to know His will. So we're not just sitting here hoping that things will happen. We're sitting here waiting on the Spirit to move on us. This morning, we went to a prison. There was a lot more people in the prison than there is here. You know why? They are in distress. They are in a camp where they cannot move freely. They're starting crying out for something. Around you, the people are careless. Right? Churches one time used to be full of people because they needed the Lord. No, they only need dollars and cents and pesos, Hong Kong dollars and whatever you have. And they're happy if they got that, they'll sit down, relax, and don't even think about spiritual things. But I'm happy that you are here, because you are concerned. I pray you are concerned and have a desire to know the will of God. And remember, I have the same desire. I have a desire to know the will of God. And I don't claim to know more than you. I hope you understand that part. We're together on this. And together the Lord is going to educate us, to build us, to make us, so that we can know our day and its message. And the more we search, the more God will open up. Yeah. So I'm very happy that I became a searcher of the scriptures in a young age. 17 years old, I heard the voice of the Lord the first time. 18 years old, I turned to the Lord. 19 years old, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's not a boasting expression. It's a needful thing. Today, when we spoke to the prisoners, I knew that they had already repented because there were almost 300 people turning to the Lord. And 230 of them got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So I kind of felt that we don't need to take that part. But in my mind and heart, I felt that we should open up the avenue of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And at the end of the service, I'm not going to repeat the service, I just asked if there was anyone that had a desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, everyone rose up. The whole camp, everyone that was watching and sitting there, soaking in the gospel, they rose up and come to the front and wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, I hope you have the confidence that you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? It's very important. And if you don't feel comfortable there, don't leave church tonight without knowing. Because every honest believer will be filled with the Holy Ghost when he asks the Lord. Yeah, you will receive the Holy Spirit. So hey, everybody came up front and we prayed for them all. We didn't go around laying hands on everyone. I know that Paul, he laid hands on the people and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. But on the day of Pentecost, nobody went around and laid hands on anyone. The Holy Ghost did that job himself. He just used tongues of fire. And then they started babbling in others. They even spoke Norwegian. Probably, I don't know. Right? They spoke in 17 different languages anyway. And convinced 3,000 people that they needed to seek the Lord. So, it just tells us that there is a hunger. And the hunger is where there is pressure on the people. And since the people are getting lazy today, you go to Norway, you have big churches, but only big buildings. There might be 10 to 20 people sitting in them. Right? They don't care anymore. You go to Africa, they don't have a building, but they are bundles of people that want to serve the Lord. So you see, the nicer the building, the less people. Well, take it with a little grasp, I hope. We're not pinpointing here. But it is an average thought about among the people. When you get rich and comfortable, then you have a tendency to slack off. And I'm not talking and accusing you, but we are all of the same material. All right, so here I was talking about a season of time. And the Jews, when they started rebuilding the temple, they got problems because the neighboring countries were after them to stop the building. And when the Jews saw that, they got scared and they stopped the building. And they waited for another 15, 16 years. Didn't even take a hammer and trying to do anything. But then the Lord saw that this building needs to be done. So he sent two men in to the camp. And that was Zechariah and Haggai. And those two men, they went down to the city place and they started shouting, "Is it no time to build on your private homes and leave the temple alone? If you do the will of the Lord will be with you." And those two men, Of course, they were appointed by God to start to stir up the hearts of the people. And I pray that there will be some voices in the face of this earth that will be anointed by God and being able to stir up God's people so they get to business with the Lord. Because He is actually coming soon. There's no doubt about it. Even people said 20 years ago, it can't be 5 years now. And it is 15. Hey, we all have feelings, but we don't, thus said the Lord, we're just going to make a mess out of things. But the expectation, the alertness, should never leave our conscience. Yeah. From the day I was 19 years old and was filled with the Holy Ghost, I have felt a certain alertness inside me. I just cannot go to sleep. Of course, I sleep at night sometimes, right? Sometimes I stay late up. Grace tells me, aren't you coming to bed? What are you doing? Well, I'm doing something. But here, we're not talking about going to sleep naturally. But you cannot just go to sleep spiritually. That alertness needs to stay with us. And I pray that as long as I'm alive here on earth in the natural body, that alertness will just increase. Yeah. That's my prayer. Never to go asleep. Never to be foolish. Never lose or get, lose my oil. Because I don't want to be a foolish virgin. I want to have oil inside and oil on my can, and can all I can. that is the desire, right? And then that the Lord can always fill me with excitement when I look down in the Bible, so that there is something for me and for everyone I meet, that we can be really spiritually shaken. Not shaken to pieces, but just shaken enough to keep us alert on this spiritual battle. All right. When Haggai and Zechariah started their mission, it didn't take them long to get the people organized, and they started building on the temple. Only 3 weeks, and the people were active. Hey, remember now, we're talking about a city, Jerusalem. If it was only Angelus, things would be easy, right? Just get the people, spiritual people in Angelus ready in 3 weeks, right? But now we have a greater commission. There is a big world out there. We have 7 billion people. We have thousands of cities, and there are a few souls here and there, scattered. We were in Central Park in Hong Kong. I saw so many Filipinos, it was covered completely. I mean, the Central Park. It was like going, if you've been close to a beehive, right? That was the Filipinos. They talked, they laughed, they did everything, and it sounded. It was impossible to get a word in that anyone would hear because it was too noisy. Oh, you say, are the Filipinos noisy? Well, if you get thousands of them together, hey, there will be noise in any party. Even Chinese and Norwegians will be noisy. So therefore. But out of all the masses of the Filipinos in Central Park, I was speaking to five Filipinos with concern for the gospel and the revelation of the hour. Think about it. Hey, you probably have 2 million Filipinos right here in Angeles. And you see what is interested in the revelation of the Word of God today. Right? You just count in your midst. Not very many. And I don't accuse you. That is the average thought and standard going on around the world. There's a lot of religious thoughts, worship, but very little desire for the revelation of the Word. All right. But we're not going to hang with our heads. We're going to be positive. And we're going to look up and we're going to ask the Lord for leadership so that we can win the next soul. Yeah. When we went to Africa last fall, we spoke to 20 people sometimes. But they have millions of peoples in Africa. But not all of them are really desiring revelation. Just some religious comfort so they can say they serve the Lord. All right, not to accuse anyone, but that's just a story all over the world when you go. Time is out. I met a Filipino woman we talked to the other day when we were on our way to the Philippines. And she said, I invite people to come to church all the time. And she said, but nobody wants to come. Everyone is satisfied with what they got. I keep inviting. I said, God bless you, sister. Just keep inviting. Don't get tired of it. And she said, nobody wants to come anymore. And that is the Philippines. You remember about 2-3 years ago, we had a little message on the angel in Revelation chapter 7, verse 2. It was an angel coming from the rising of the sun. And after Brother Branham, in 1956, gave a quote or a comment on the spiritual situation in America. He said, America is about to fall completely asleep, falling away from God. And if they don't wake up and turn around and start really searching for God now, the angel will leave the continent. That was 1956. And America did not turn around. It kept going in the religious comfort zone and still is. And the angel of the covenant just started going to the eastern countries. And I got some books when I went to Bible school back in the late 60s, early 70s about the revivals in Indonesia, in Korea, and other places in the Far East. I tell you, God has done miraculous things in your eastern zone. And also here in the Philippines, you have had great revivals and bundles of people coming to the Lord. But those days, they are about over. And you say, can't we keep that angel? No, you can't. But remember, you can keep the fire burning in your soul. Because Europe, the angel of the Lord left Europe many, many, many years ago. Back in the 1800s, the angel of the Lord moved over to Great Britain and over to the States. Or maybe even 1750, around that time, the gospel started going over to America. And Europe has been in a dark condition ever since. And it's not going to get any better. Europe, it's coming for you. That's a message from the Lord to that people. But it's coming for everyone. But everyone will have a payback time because they did not answer to the calling that came upon their lives. All right. When the two prophets spoke in Jerusalem, it took Israel 4 years to rebuild the temple. But it still did not start the time clock for the 70 weeks of Daniel. It wasn't until Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer in Ahasuerus' king's hall. And when he got the message about the condition in Jerusalem, there were some brothers coming from Jerusalem, and he heard that the walls of Jerusalem was still laying there, broke down. And Nehemiah got so sick about it, he started fasting and praying. And the king saw him, that he was not in his good old shape. And he asked him, "What's going on? What's happening to you?" And then he gave the message to the king that Jerusalem, the city of his life, was laying there in ruins. And he had such a burning desire to go back and do something to restore the walls. And the king looked upon him, and of course the time was right. The Lord turned the king's heart. And Nehemiah was allowed to bring a band of people, constructors, helpers, and they went to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And when Nehemiah got there, and he laid the plans out to the people, it only took him about 2 months to do the whole job. Here, and that was 445 BC. So almost 90 years after they came back to the country, and the clock hadn't even started yet, because the people had not fulfilled the commission put upon them. But Nehemiah, when he came into the city, he was the spark in the people's life, like Zechariah and Haggai had been some years earlier. That was about, should we say, 70 years earlier. Haggai and Zechariah gave the message around 520 BC. That's when they were preaching and put a drive in the people. And here comes Nehemiah in about 445 BC. And he tells the people the plan to rebuild the walls. And after he had the celebration of putting up the walls again, filling in the cracks, and the city could have a celebration feast, the Lord started the pendle for the 70 weeks of Daniel. And it went on, as the prophecy said, until a Messiah, a prince, should come. And the people rejected Jesus Christ. At the end of the 69th week, he was crucified. And the clock stopped. And you know, nobody really knows exactly when the clock for the 70th week of Daniel is going to start again. We have prophecies in the Bible that speaks about events that will start the week. Like when you read Revelation chapter 11, there it speaks about two prophets coming in. And they will prophesy for 1260 days. So when you see two men in Israel prophesying and having the prophetic mission, as it is written in Daniel chapter 9, 24, and Revelation chapter 11 from verse 1. You can really look down and say, the last week has started. Right? But are we going to sit and wait on two prophets to start the work? Are we going to be slack? Some people, you know, they make a calendar and they say, the Lord will probably come at this time. So I don't need to straighten out my life until it's getting close to that time. You know, people with that type of mind, they will always come late. They'll always be late. God will make sure that they slumber because He don't want us to go asleep and start counting on dates on the calendar to start activate your spiritual life. No, the Bible says, today, when you hear His voice, don't reject it. Go and start. So, when I was 19 years old, I was never calculating on the coming of the Lord. I said, Lord, I thank you for coming and touching my life and starting me on this wonderful road. Yeah. And I'm not sitting here and say, my, doesn't look like it's coming. What am I going to do? I'm probably going to do something else while things are going. There's nothing happening, so I'm probably safe doing something else. But that is the time that the Lord starts activating things, and you are not aware of it. So therefore, that's not a smart move at all. Because when the two prophets comes in, it may be that the bride of Christ is already gone. Are you going to count on seeing them first? Right? The Lord cannot come till the two prophets are on the scene. I'll say, don't fool yourself. Hey, it might be that they come in before you go, but don't count on it. What you are going to count on is what Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1. Because they said, are you now setting up the kingdom for all Israel? And He said, no, I'm not. And I don't even know when. Only the Father knows. I don't know the time. But He said, but you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost not many days hereafter. And you're just going to make sure you're filled with the Holy Ghost and are doing exactly what the Spirit tells you to do. Hey, so that means you're going to be busy doing the will of the Lord every day till He comes. Don't spoil the time. Don't slack off. Don't go to sleep. Just keep pressing on for the Lord. That's the best insight and level and heart you can have. God is proud of His little seed that are always active. And you ask, how active should I be? Well, then go to the ants. Hey, in Proverbs, the Lord said that. Go to the ants and learn from them. They work every day, every second, every hour of the day. They have a job to do, and they're busy. So that's what Christians should be. They should be like ants. Not aunts and uncles. But ants, the little small creatures, always busy. All right. So, when Nehemiah was done, and they celebrated, they started the week. The first one, and it went 400 and almost 480 years. And here, Christ comes on the scene. And even if the Jews had a way of accounting and some wisdom, the time for the coming of the Lord was not really unknown. If the Jews had known a little about the 70 weeks of Daniel And of course, Daniel wrote it down. They carried it with them to Jerusalem. So they had the books there, but they didn't read them good enough. And I have also, when I watch the Bible and the things going on, we people, we Christian people, sometimes we think that we are very smart. So therefore, we can calculate and we can speculate, and then we can set up an order. First, this is going to happen. No, then it's going to happen. That's going to happen. And we think we have it all clear. But when I read the time of Jesus Christ, especially, he had simple men. There were fishermen, tax collectors, just ordinary people. And they were the spiritual people. The clergy, the theologians, the Pharisees, the scribes, they who studied the Bible every day on their knees, studied the Torah, of course, they could not find out what was going on. So every time there was something in the spirit, like Mary got pregnant, there was no rabbi in Nazareth thinking, could this be the coming of Messiah? No, they pushed the little girl away and put her on a pedestal. She was going to give birth to a child out of wedlock. So that was their problem. When she came to Bethlehem and the shepherds, they came up to the little house or the little cave where she gave birth to Jesus Christ. They heard angels speaking, and they went up and they saw the baby. But Bethlehem didn't get in an uproar and say, "Oh my, we have got the fulfillment of the scriptures." They pushed it away. And when she came into the temple, first she came in to have it circumcised on the 8th day. Was never anyone who thought that this would be the one. Then after 40 days, she came for the cleansing after giving birth, because that's what they do in Israel. And then it was Simon and Hannah. And they prophesied that here is the one, the anointed one. And he's been going around telling that for so many months and years. I'm waiting, I've been promised to see the anointed one. And when he came in and he saw him and he blessed him, all the people that knew about him, they probably said, "That's that silly guy again." And now he's even taking a baby and telling what he's been waiting on. But they did not really take it to their hearts. So spiritual things happens. And the people, they let it go by. And don't even consider the fulfillment of the scriptures. Jump till today, the very same thing happens. We have had no, in 1972 and 73, I have been a Christian since 1968, so about 5 years, I was now in the Pentecostal church, and I had a desire to testify and to be a witness. And then there was an old man coming to me, and he said that he got a very strange tape that he couldn't figure out what it meant. And he said, "Can you listen to this tape and see if you can get anything out of it?" And I had never heard about a prophet, never heard about a Malachi 4 or anything like that. That was completely new to me. And I sat down and I listened to a tape, and it was a Norwegian brother testifying about William Branham, who now had been told, and remember, today, The world is full of critics, and they try to discredit William Branham and his ministry. They're trying to pluck it asunder. But I heard something on that tape that shook me and woke me up. Because he said, in 1933, an angel of the Lord came down over the River Ohio. And while Brother Branham was baptizing people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a voice who spoke and said, as John the Baptist had a message to forerun my first coming, so will this thy ministry and message forerun my second coming. And it was taken out of Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And you know, you can criticize Brother Branham as much as you want. You can discredit him any way you want and like. But that little story about an appearance over the River of Ohio will always stay there. Right? You might say, but I read in Time magazine, I read some theologians, I have studied out of books that have plucked William Branham's ministry to pieces. He is nothing. Right? I got proofs by books and stories. But you can never discredit the angel of the Lord coming down and saying those words. You know, Benny Hinn, he had claimed to be an Elijah. There is a man called Morris Cirillo. He claims to be that Elijah. Hey, there's a lot of spiritual or so-called spiritual people. I will not discredit their ministry and name, but they are taking advantage of the same scripture that the Lord spoke to Brother Branham. And at least all but one is wrong. Right? Yeah. So therefore, you can check out every book you want, but there is an experience. Remember when Jesus Christ was 30 years old? He went down to the river and he got baptized by John the Baptist. And when he came out of the water, there came a voice. First there came a dove. And there was only one man that had received a sign from the Lord. Him whom you see a dove come down over and remained over. That's the one. And that was John the Baptist. The only one who could refer and verify this is the Christ by revelation. And when Jesus Christ got out of the water, or after he was baptized anyway, he may have still stood in the water, I don't know. Then suddenly there came a dove and a voice. This is my son, the beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. How many of them heard that voice? I don't know. But in Brother Branham's life, he heard the voice saying, this message will be the same to forerun the second coming of the Lord. I had a Norwegian brother, and since time went so long, from 1933 and up till 1975, that's many years. And he said, after so many years, I'm starting doubting that angel even spoke. Too long time, though. And you know what he did? He went to the U.S. And he went to Jeffersonville and he knocked on every door by the place the baptism had occurred. And nobody had seen or heard. Every door he knocked at was negative. Then finally, he got a hold of one person and he said, "Yeah, I remember that man was down there baptizing, but I didn't hear anything." So therefore, he came back to Norway and he said, "Nobody can verify it. It can't be anymore. There cannot be a Elijah for the Gentiles. It just have to be for the Jews." So you can go and you can search and research and really never find what you're looking for, because you are doubtful. You only go to find fault. Yeah. Then you'll never find it. But people who are honest and also humble enough to acknowledge what God is doing, God will send a convincing spirit in you that will make you walk on with Him, no matter what other people say. I said that in prison also. My message in the prison really went into how, what type of assurance do you need to keep staying a believer for the rest of your life? Remember, most people, they start out very happy for the Lord. My, you can't stop them. You know, when I started for the Lord, I went and I spoke to everyone. I really don't speak to everyone anymore. I don't grab them and say, "Hey, you need to turn around to the Lord." I ask the Lord for some wisdom. I will talk as soon as I know there is a leadership in it. But I won't push people over the cliff. I will just be gentle and ask the Lord for timing and words so that they can really catch the thought that you have. Because you're not going to condemn people. You're going to bring them to the Lord. Right? Yeah. So I learned my lessons, but I also needed something to make me a steady Christian that would never turn around and say, "I'm done with this." Grace and I, we met in a Bible school in 1970-71. That's where I found her. And we got married. And we were in the same school with 38 other students. In the later years, I met some of the students. And when they saw me, they said, "You're still going on?" Well, I didn't have any reasons for not to, because I love the Lord. And they could tell me they are burnt out. I met the wall. I couldn't do it anymore. Hey, they're still Christians, but they're inactive Christians. They've given up. They're not fighters for the gospel anymore. They're not a Peter, James, John, Paul, and them. They've given up. I say, how can we give up when the Lord has done so much for us? He laid on His life, died at 33, fulfilled every scripture that was told about Him. So therefore, we have to do the same. You say, "Oh, there's no scripture for me in the Bible." Well, aren't you the bride? Are you a wise virgin? Then you're in the Bible. Right? You're waiting for the transformation. I'll tell you a secret. We shall not all go asleep. We shall all be changed. In a twinkle of an eye, the dead in Christ arise, and we who remain alive shall be changed. And we'll be caught in the air to be with Him. Are you not in the Scripture? Or you might say, your name, what isn't there? Well, Paul's name and all the others' names, they were not written out. When Jesus was born, nobody could figure out who that was because his name was Jesus. And he didn't, in the Old Testament, you could not write out his name. He had a calling. He was called. But he was called with titles that they could not figure out who the man was when he was walking there. So therefore, don't worry about that you don't have your name written out in the prophecies. You are. Remember, God singled you out before the foundation of the world. He spread the map out, and he looked at Brother Ramiro, and he said, Garden of Eden? No, that's not him. Right? Times of Egypt? No. Times of Babylon? No. Jesus? No. No. And then up through the years. But when he came up to 1950 and up around that time, yeah, Ramiro, I think he suits right there. Or put your name in, right? Sister Luz, Brother Elevera, Sister Jojo, whoever, right? God saw you would fit right in this time season. You're built for it. Hallelujah. Don't look at yourself that you're out of, I'll say that you're too old fashioned and there's no way God thought of you. Oh yes, he thought of you from the very beginning. That's why Ephesians said we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. He placed us here. We have a time. We have a job to do. We have a fulfillment. Are we doing exactly what he tells us? That's the important part. All right. Because the Lord, he has secrets. Remember, things are foretold in the prophecies, but the people don't know how to read it and how to understand it. And that's why people, they can't see it when it happens. But I believe that the Lord, he has a way of telling and revealing. And I mentioned to the prisoners this morning that to keep Moses balanced against all pressure so that he would keep walking for the Lord, no matter what happened around him, the Lord gave him a burning bush, a revelation that he could not forget. Anytime he had problems, he could see the burning bush. Hey, you know why I say that? Because I have experiences. I also face problems. Some people ridicule me. I don't worry about it. I just smile and go on. Some people may hate me. Well, that's up to them. I don't hate them back. Some people have written me off. I'm more like a Judas Iscariot. Brother Strowman's never going to go to heaven. He is going to go down that other drain. I keep smiling. Because the Lord came and he spoke. And he gave me a certain insight and comfort. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? If they have called your master Beelzebul, what about you? Because you are my disciples. They will be running after you. And they will think they're doing God a favor when they're trying to kill you. That was Jesus said to his own disciples. Yeah, that's something. And in the day that we're living in now, you think the condition is different? It's pretty much the same. If you want to live honestly, directly, really inspired by the Lord, you will face problems. And you would wonder, am I a believer? Right? Anymore. Then is when you need the burning bush. Right? I hope you understand that part. Yeah. That's when you need your experience. We asked the people at the prison, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? And I said, if there's anyone who needs the Holy Ghost, you'll be free to come. And everyone rose up and came up to the front. I really got a little surprised that all of them came up. But it's also wonderful that the gospel can prick their hearts and make them have a concern about their spiritual experience, so that when problems come their way, they can depend upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I pray that every one of them will have an experience so they can raise up a standard when the problems comes around. Okay. And I'm not talking only about the prisoners. I'm talking about you and me. Right? You and I need experience. We need to have a solid insight in what the Lord has for us individually. I know that the Bible talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. They are there to help out, to bring us into the unity of faith. But remember, you have a responsibility. God speaks to you as an individual. So as an individual, you have a responsibility. You need to seek the Lord. Let Him guide your life so that you know your place in the Lord. Yeah. Remember, every apostle was one time a newborn Christian. And he didn't know nothing about apostleship. He was just a young lad sitting in the back of the church or in the pew and excited and wanting to know more about God. The difference between a ministry is that such people, they never give up searching. They keep searching, 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 searching. And after they have been searching, they keep searching again. Because they want all that there is. Hallelujah. That makes a person that the Lord can put into offices and works and helps. It's not only apostles. There's a lot of different ranks. And remember, it doesn't go from apostles and down to helpers. No, it goes from helpers up there and down to apostles. Right? Because the ones who have the most insight in the Word of God, they have the greatest responsibility of humility and being nothing in themselves. When you're fully educated, you are just a big zero. Yeah, it goes the other way. The Lord reverses it so that we shall not boast of our titles. Yeah. So don't pick up a big title and start an apostolic boasting mission, because that is really the smallest instrument. I hope you catch what I'm saying, right? Because we should be nothing in ourselves. All right. So therefore, when we are now coming into closing to the start of the 70th week of Daniel, you have to understand some people, they're using Israel as a time clock. And they're waiting on the 70th week of Daniel so they can, hey, we're going to set the watch now so that we can know where we are in spiritual time. But you know, you as an individual, you are not allowed to put your timepiece according to that. You are a Gentile. You are supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And God is going to instruct you and lead you in a different way than He's leading the Jewish nation. He's going to lead you as an individual. Hey, I have a scripture. I want to start. No, I'm not starting. I'm just continuing. I want to go to Revelation chapter 10. And really, what I'm aiming at is verse 7. Because there is a word that is called mystery. Last year we were in Surigao. And I started on a thought about the mystery of God. All right. When I came home to Verdal, I started on that thought, and I've been on it for a long while. But a mystery that is going to be fulfilled. We know in chapter 10, we will read from verse 1. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clouded with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, his feet like the pillars of fire. He had a little open book in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the land. Well, that's a mighty angel, right? You go down to the beach and you put one foot in the ocean and one on land. And I'm sure if there are some waves there, you'll not be able to keep that other foot dry, would you? Now, but this is also a type, a mighty angel. How big are angels? Remember, when Brother Branham saw an angel, he was about 200 pounds. About 6 feet tall, right? And he came walking in. And of course, he didn't hear his heavy footsteps. Angels can float in the air, you know. They can stand anywhere. Right? They're not bound by earthly bounds. But they're bound by the Spirit to do their job. Are there a difference between man and angel? Certainly is. You cannot say that a man is an angel. But an angel can look like a man. Because in Gideon's story, in the book of Judges, there was a man sitting under an oak tree. And he spoke to Gideon. And when Gideon looked around, he saw a man. And also the mother of Samson. She met a man who spoke to her and said that she would give birth to a son. And he was going to be a Nazarene. And when she went back to her husband and told her, the husband said, well, I hope that that man will appear again so that we can ask what we need to do when our son is born. Then later on, the angel came one more time. And the wife ran back to the husband, told him, and they both came out and they saw this man. They didn't know it was an angel at that time. But when they made a sacrifice, they wanted to offer him a meal. Well, they didn't know it was going to be a sacrifice, but they wanted to give him a gift because of what he told them, to respect God in the honor of God. And then the angel, he received the sacrifice, but he didn't eat it. He just touched the food with his staff. And suddenly, the staff was like a match. And it caught the whole thing on fire. And the soup and the thing that they had prepared was just in, went up in smoke and went up to heaven. And the angel went up to heaven with the soup. Right? And when they were looking, it's like, Ma, we have seen God. We're going to die. But the wife was a little wiser than the man. Because she said, do you think that God comes down and tells us such a thing and then going to kill us? No, we have to fulfill what he said. Of course, they knew then it was an angel of the Lord. All right, and here there is a mighty angel of the Lord. So don't necessarily think about angels with size. Do you know any mighty men on earth? That's men with power, right? They have influence. They can say something and a nation follows it, right? There is a man in Russia, he's called Mr. Putin. He's really wrestling with the sword now. I don't know if he only used it as a scarecrow to make the people understand that Russia is still in some power. Right? Well, they're mighty men. They might not even be 6 foot tall. They might be tiny, small. Yeah. There are a lot of people that can be called mighty without the size. It is the influence. And the angel of the Lord here is really a type in a spiritual setting as Christ in angelic form. But when you say Christ in an angelic form, what do you mean with Christ? Because the word Christ is really anointed. Right? So when you are anointed and you speak anointed, you're speaking as Christ want to talk through you. Have you heard prophecies in church? Some prophecies goes, I, the Lord, say to you. Isn't that a representation of Christ? The Lord speaking? Of course, it's only a brother or a sister who's speaking. But God uses their mind, their ability to speak, and they express themselves through a tiny vessel. Christ is in action. Right? So here is an angel. But a man never turns into an angel. Right? That's different. Jesus said one time to the disciples, remember, you shall judge angels when time come. Does it mean you're going to condemn them? No, judging is really placing in position. You are going to be judged too, right? You're a Christian. And God will judge you. But He will not condemn you. He will just give you your right position. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. No, chapter 3 verse 11. Excuse me. Here, Paul says, we shall all come before the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall all be judged. And what is going to be judged is the motivation of our work. Whether we have done it selfishly, or we have walked in the ordinance of Christ, the anointing, and we have done and said the things according to what He wants us to do, not taking honor for ourselves. The big thing, brothers and sisters, is really when you do things, don't put yourself in and say, I did it. Don't take the pride for yourself. Lay it down for the Lord. We are nothing. What we do is because we're told to do it. It's not because we're smart. Now, the smartest thing we do is to leave it in the hands of the Lord. Yeah. So therefore, man will never be an angel. Okay. I say that for a reason. He had a little book that was open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And of course, he didn't stand by a beach. It's a type, because it has to do with people, right? A lot of expressions in the book of Revelation, when it speaks about a sea, it speaks about people, nations. Absolutely. Because he saw a sea of glass. That is people that have been going through extreme pressure. Right? You know, you take sand and you heat it up till it melts. And it turns out to be glass. So regular sand can be glass. Right? And you are the dust of the earth. So you're sand. So when you're sand and a lot of pressure comes upon you, heat, then you melt. And what is melting? It's really the motives of your life. If you let the pressure fulfill its work, you will come out as clear glass. They can see through you. Praise the Lord. They can see your motives and know that is a clean soul. They never took anything in advance for themselves, advantage of it. So if you're going to come out like clean, pure glass, don't take any benefits for yourself. Don't say, what's in it for me? Right? No, leave that to the Lord. He knows what's for you. Yeah. Don't take it upon yourself to, I am the major, I am this and I am that. Just be nothing in yourself. All right. So here, that angel represents every soul. And it's really the Spirit of Christ that has a little book. And that little book have a message. That book is really going to be used at the end of time. Because when John saw this book, and the angel gave it over to John, he said to John, eat it. It shall be sweet in your mouth, but sour in your belly. All right? Let's see here. I'll go to verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. That's the same one, same book. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. You know, when you give words that are true, they might sound sweet at the time they're told, but they may have a very strong impact on your digesting system. And I'm not talking about the natural belly, but the consequences of the words being said. If you go back in Old and New Testament, think about John the Baptist. One day, he met Herod, and he had married his brother's wife. And that was illegal. You couldn't do that. And then John the Baptist was inspired to speak to the king. And he said, you cannot do what you did. What you did was wrong. And I tell you, that had an effect. The truth is sweet and nice for the ear. But when it reached the ear, it went inside and it started turmoil. And the king got so mad. And the wife got so mad, she wanted John's head on a plate. And she got it. So that was a message that turned sour. Right? Hey, the last part of our stay here on earth is going to be very serious. Okay? In verse 10, then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And it was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. What was it that John ate? It says a book. But remember, nobody eats paper. Not even a papyrus roll. But when you receive a word from the Lord, you eat the word first. You digest it. I have heard words from the Lord, not because I'm special. I just try to be nothing, right? And then when the Lord speaks to me, it goes through my system. And I know when I speak to that person about what the Lord says, it will have consequences. It will touch that person. He might get sick. Not physically, but by hearing the correction. If it is correction. Hey, have you been corrected and after you felt sick? Someone speak to you and go, oh, hey, I've been sitting by a table looking at a very nice, beautiful, delicious smelling dish. And then, just about when I'm going to take my fork and knife into the dinner, here comes a message. Someone tells me a story and I lose my appetite completely. I can't eat anymore because it has an effect on my emotional system. Everything becomes bitter. Right? Have you had such things happening to you? Right, so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So it just tells us when the Lord gives things out, it might sound right, but it has an effect. So, in verse 11, and he said to me, you must prophesy again. And here the Bible variates a little because different translations have different views because the translators, they use their mind. So in the New King James, it says you must prophesy again about many people. You know, I can stand here today and talk about Americans, Norwegians, English, German, French, about people. But if the Bible says you must prophesy again before, in the presence of, then I can't stay here in the Philippines and talk about the Americans, right? Then I have to be in America to talk before the Americans. You understand? Yeah. And the old King James is really saying, you shall again prophesy before nations, people, tongues, and kings. This portion of the Bible, this 10th chapter, is really a chapter of our day. This is our chapter, whether you like it or not. The angel coming down, having a little book. That book has not been eaten yet. Hey, John ate it. Yes. But he was not going to prophesy before kings. He was doing this in a type, as a forerunner. But he was really doing this for the last generation that is going to be on earth before the coming of the Lord. Remember, in all biblical prophecy, when it talks about the last day, I'm going to stop now, right? I know I'm using a little type, but I'm trying to build a little platform for something more to come. So, and I hope you feel it is interesting, because it interests me very much. All right. So, the Lord is building up a platform for us, so that we should see something in the scriptures. And there is a way to read Revelation chapter 10. And I want to go, the last scripture I will read from here is really the seventh verse. Verse 7. And it says here, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound. When an angel is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. And other says, should be finished. Right, it should be completed by now. You know, we are living in a time now where the Lord could come anytime, right? But he is always coming in a right time. He don't just pop up. There is a fulfillment to be done. And if we don't catch that, we may walk around anxiously, scared, frightened. The Lord could come any time. And of course, you would only do that if you don't care about the work of Christ. Then you will be anxious and afraid. But if you love the Lord. And you know the time you're living in, and you want the Lord to reveal to you what is needful in this hour, then you will walk with a certain excitement and expectation. It is different. It's a difference between expectation and being scared. Right? To me, it's a big difference. I want to live with expectation that the Lord will inspire and lead us. If I was living under fear, frightened, then I said, oh, the Lord could come any time, and where would I be? What can I do, right? Yeah. But the Lord don't want to leave us in the blank. He even sent his angel down with a book. And the book contains prophecies, leadership, that will lead the people in a right manner just before the coming of the Lord. You have to combine these scriptures with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, the Lord shall ascend from heaven with a voice, a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. All right. I will read to you three translations of verse 7. Because verse 7 said, when he is about to sound. All right. When he's about to sound, what is he going to sound like? Is he going to talk? Is it a message? Is it some teachings? What is the sound? You know, this scripture and this verse has sometimes been translated that the angel is Brother Branham, the seventh angel. But the seventh angel is not William Branham. The seventh angel is the seventh angel. And William Branham has been dead according to natural standards. He's alive with Abraham, right? But he's not among us, among the living. And some people say he has to rise again to come and do this. But William Branham is not going to rise again to do this. The Lord's going to do it his way. And he's going to use the living element that is back on earth today. He's going to fulfill the word with the material he have. But you know, some people, they have annulled the tools of the day to day. They can't do nothing right. There's only one who could do it right, and that was William Branham. Well, he was a very good tool. But the Lord chose to take him in 1965. And what's left on earth is what God's going to use to fulfill that part. So, if you translate this word, when he is about to sound, then you would have to convert it to a time frame that would be before 1929. You get me? Because William Branham started, he got saved close to 1930. The angel is about to sound. Okay. If I'm about to say something now, I don't say anything because I'm about to. Haven't said it yet. So you're waiting to hear what is said. And then when I speak, no, I'm not about to say, no, I'm talking. Right? So, about to sound. Was that a ministry from 1933 to 1965? Or are the angels still waiting to sound? Because if you go to another, let me see here so I can get it right. All right. If I was using the New King James Version, who says, when he is about to sound. Then, if I go to another, hey, please don't close my book now. Sometimes those little iPads, they're a little tricky. Or it is me that can't use them right, probably. Let us be honest here. All right, I'm back here again. Okay. So, this is the Bible in basic English. Who it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when the sound of his horn is about to come. The sound of his horn. All right? If I use the New Living Translation, when the seventh angel blows his trumpet, God's mysterious plan will be fulfilled. Or if I go to what you call ESV, another translation, but in the days of the trumpet call to be sound by the seventh angel. All right, so here, in three different translations, it doesn't only say about to sound, but it says about to sound the trumpet. All right? That gives a little different meaning to it. That's what I was... You know, in my Norwegian Bible, every Norwegian, when they read their Bible, they will say, and I'm going to say it in English here, but in the days when the seventh angel's voice is heard, when he shall blow the trumpet. That's always been in the Norwegian Bible. And of course, in all the other translations, except for King James, that says about to sound. But doesn't say what to sound. Remember, all the mysteries, or should we say, the mystery, the great mystery, is not really solved and completed until the trumpet blows. Because the trumpet shall wake the dead in Christ. And the trumpet shall change the living from mortal to immortal. So that tells me the secret, the mystery, is an ongoing thing until the trumpet blows. Then the mystery should be completed. Okay, you get it? Hey, I'm not trying to manipulate. But remember, if the mystery, if the seventh angel was Brother Branham, then the mystery had been waiting for 50 years. It's been there. Everybody knows it. And we are walking around in circles for 50 years. Nothing's going on. And the bride would know nothing. They'd only go on waiting on the rapture. Yeah. Is that what you think the last part of God's work will be on earth? Go floating around doing nothing? Just waiting on the coming of the Lord? Everything is said. Everything is done now. There's no more. Let's go home, sit in the sofa, wait on the coming of the Lord. No. The angel or the Spirit of God will keep inspiring. Remember, in the prison this morning, I don't know how many people came for prayer. 100? 150? I don't know. But they received the Holy Ghost. Hey, if they took the scripture and believed it the way the Bible says, today they have the Holy Spirit. And they didn't have it yesterday. The Spirit of the Lord is working today, as He's done for the last 2,000 years. Or should we say 6,000 years almost. Oh yeah. It's exciting times. We're going to look a little more into the mystery. But not tonight. But if you can see that part. And today, you only need to have a little cell phone. Download Bible app. And you can have 20 different English translations together with your Tagalog and other languages. Just handpick and read for yourself. It's simple today. Back years ago, they had to buy a very expensive Bible. They could hardly afford to buy one. Now, it's a free app for anyone who wants it. And you read a little part like that. And I have to say that angel, the seventh angel, is the very same angel who inspired William Branham. Oh yeah. But that angel is still inspiring. Remember, we preached some years back on the three stages of the Elijah ministry. Who do you think is inspiring them stages? It's the same angel. Completing the job so that the mystery shall be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. So don't make a man an angel. Let him be a man. And let the angel be the angel of the Lord that has the commission to inspire you and me to finalize everything until the trumpet blows. Because verse 7, the secret of it, to understand it, is that angel's job is not done till the trumpet blows. And when the trumpet blows, the dead in Christ will come alive. The living will be changed into immortality and excitement, my, beyond measure, is going to be on us. But until then, we got a job to do. And I pray that we can be humble, contrite in our spirit, and ready to listen to what the Spirit says to the body of Christ. May the Lord bless you tonight and be with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope you're still happy tonight. And even more excited. Because more is coming. Not from me, but from Him.